Blog Talk Radio.
I hear that song, I think I'm at a house party, and I'm trying to get over to dance with somebody before somebody gets a hold of that person. It's a two-drink conversation, but anyway, I think some of y'all get the idea. Anyway, good evening and welcome as our big, big tournament continues, and you're, of course, listening to what we do here at Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, our brother's show, The Gray Leopard Code, and through blogtalkradio.com. I am Michael Mingham, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is wonderful to be with you as we continue our big, big competition. Now, tonight, we have a rather intriguing matchup for you, and they are both from on the other side of the water. We've been doing this soul contest. We have pulled from the soul forces around the world, and I think we've tapped into some good shit so far. And as we do this with the same question that has driven us since we put this show on the air in this vehicle over 9 years ago. It's like, how many ways can you interpret what is soul? And we're going to put an example of that before you tonight as Tears for Fears, through their lead singer, Roland Orthobel. We'll go up against David Bowie, the Thin White Duke. We'll get down. We will have a look at their translations of what soul is regarding love and love songs. We have to also tell you that our show is proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the members of the Brother Man Network, providing y'all with all the good shit journalistically, the who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to everybody in the Brother Man Network, especially my man G, DJ Gray, having a whole lot to say the night before, a nice set with William Hart of the Delphonics and Eddie LaVert of the Mighty OJs and a good old-fashioned Philadelphia street fight. Yes, hearts and minds and panties. There's nothing wrong with that. Having said that, though, the band Tears for Fears was formed by Roland Orthobel and Kurt Smith. And the lead singers, and both of these cats were from Bath, England. Not B-A-F, Bath, but Bath. And they were part of, in 1980s, MTV kind of second invasion. You know, after MTV came online and put that stuff out there in front of everybody, there were a lot of acts who, you're like, what the fuck are they doing there? As opposed to, oh, okay, this is different. And we can make an argument that the 80s was really pretty much a good decade for music, but there were a lot of bands that just got rep off of simple exposure. And it was because of the video aspect of it, not necessarily because they had chops that could jam on stage. But that's a separate subject. What we're working on right now is how love gets translated. You know, we know how soul gets translated. You know, you can feel somebody singing sometimes, and that song, whatever, the chords hit you the right way, you're good. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes it comes from something else. Maybe it's the lyric itself. Maybe it's the way the lyric is sung. Maybe it's the way the musicians run it down. It's not always that one thing that's supposed to be the thing that goes ding. Something else comes into play, especially when you have something to say when it comes to l'amour. So we took these two groups, performers rather, and decided what they do and how they do it in the bigger picture here. Now, later on, we will talk about other translations of love, but y'all know the format. If you don't, we have taken, and even though the basketball tournament is going on now, we took the approach of the NCAAs last year. We decided to take bands and work them same way groups were worked, or rather teams were worked in the NCAA tournament. They were ranked, put in different categories, and they went at it with each other and against each other. Well, we found it to be highly successful, so we're doing that with single performers now. But this is with the caveat that these are people who sang as lead singer in a band, or they sang in a duet with somebody, or any of that ilk. Either way, the stage was theirs when the microphone was put in their hand, and that's where we are going here. The band Tears for Fears stayed on the charts all through the 80s. Decent band, and all other good shit considered. It could be one of these other situations where we get set aside in our assumptions of things. And we all do it, you know, it's like that assume, make an ass out of you and me, all that shit. But the thing that Marley always talks about is true. When you feel something is soulful, you know it. And I heard these cats in the early 80s. I was like, eh, okay. And then they played this song, Shout. I was like, okay, sound like a kind of a love song via therapy. You know, a lot of us know that music not just soothes the savage beast, but helps us to maintain our sanity sometimes. That thing that was said about the great Charlie Parker, like if he didn't have the music, he'd be out there on an eight state killing spree, killing motherfuckers because of the shit that he had to put up with. So I can understand that. What I like about the lead singer in Tears of Fears is that he carries with him a nice lilt to his voice, first of all. You know, it always makes sense if when you hear somebody, he doesn't sound like everybody else. Jimmy Scott is a fantastic example of that. We had him on a couple of shows ago. As soon as you hear him, you know, oh yeah, I'm ready. And your mindset's ready to take in what he has to say when he sings. This Killer Thobble is similar only from the sense that in preparation for a song, he has the advantage of original. Always do your own music because nobody can tell you you're singing somebody else's shit, first of all, and also because you get to say exactly how you feel. Singing somebody else's music is difficult. So, of course, when you get to sing your own stuff, you have that advantage. But how you offset it, how other things play off you, how musical colorings go into things like that. I think the reason Tears for Fears were successful was because they followed a formula that they thought was going to be successful, very much like the earlier British Invasion acts did. Good production, good arrangements, all of that. But it won't matter if you can't carry the message forward with a voice. Well, Thobble's voice proved to be money. And what we did, took some of that best shit and put it together in a mini set for your approval. So, 82 to 86 and into the early 90s when they broke up and came back together. The band had some signature sounds. I'm going to give you a taste of some of that right now. Now, since it is going to be about David Bowie versus Thobble, I want you guys to vote. If you like what you hear for Roland Tears, or you can write Roland and count that vote in, that vote will go to SoulTreeInTheRaw@Outlook.com, or you can send it to our Facebook page on SoulTree Radio in the Raw. If you love David Bowie, of course, say David and follow thusly. But for now, kick back and relax. Ladies and gentlemen, Mesdames and Messieurs, Tears for Fears.
Shout. Come on. talk about it.
If you're a wondering man, shout about it.
Of our lives.
Don't blame.
Tears for Fears, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, they were rocking and rolling for a good decade, and then they had a falling out in part because of one being a fuss budget over the other, and then in between the two gentlemen, Orthowell and Smith. But they reconciled, and they started performing again. Smith and Orthowell made a good combination and put out some good music. I like his voice. And when you're performing live, there's another thing that has to be in the mix. There has to be a sense of drama when you're doing your thing. How are you holding the crowd? How is the crowd responding to you and what you're doing, what your musicians are doing, things like that. So we've done all that good shit. And having said that, it was intriguing listening to the last song, Head Over Heels. Because MTV had put such a strong video stamp on everything during that era. Seeing how a lyric would transform into ideas on tape and in front of a camera was a whole nother thing. In this particular video for this song, they were trying to replicate the feelings of the lyric to show a life of working or living and loving a person. There was some truth to it, but it was like, I didn't need pictures to tell me that because it's a good song. And we always talk about good songs, even if sometimes they have the same title or whatever. A good song is a good song. And we work all of that, you know, because of that. The response to the song is what matters to me. And when I first heard Head Over Heels, I was like, yeah, I like that. And it had the nice amount of groove and all that stuff. And this was a singer who was singing. He wasn't trying to do the Michael Bolton thing. Oh, that stupid over-the-top crap. He sung how he felt. And we liked that. So Tears for Fears is performing, even to this day, as far as I understand it. They're a nice band. And in the world of music, sometimes it's enough to just be, yeah, that's nice. I like them. I will continue to listen to them, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we will turn our focus to Mr. David Robert Jones. He is, as y'all know, known professionally as David Bowie, singer, songwriter, and he has acted. I first saw him in a movie called Heaven Knows Mr. Allison. And he's definitely been someone who has forwarded the overall cause of music. I remember him saying what he said on MTV about, you know, we're the black artists. You know, where's Prince? Where's Mike? Where's Rick? All these motherfuckers, where they at? And from what I understood, he did not let MTV off the hook with that shit. He was born in Brixton in South London on January 8th, 1947. Ah, I can remember, he's a Capricorn. And he was doing this thing for a while. He developed an interest in music in his late teens and stuff and started doing his own thing. His idea of music and how he translates it is pretty cool. He has a little bit of the funk in him. He definitely has a little bit of the soul in him. And like they say, it's all about the translation. It really is all about the translation. He is spanned years with a great career. Sadly, he passed January 10th, just after his 69th birthday in New York City. He was married to the model Imam. Fine, rascal. And he did some good shit, not just with the music, but in his everyday life. Now, having said that, what I like about him musically is he responds to change. I think he always had an idea of what he sounded like, and he was consistent with that. And that's all you can ask for from an artist. He's had several, I guess you want to say, noms de plume regarding performing and stuff, the then White Duke, and other nicknames, Ziggy Stardust. And we like what he did. All this stuff brings us back to the basic question we started out with. Was David Bowie soulful? We say yes. And on top of his history, his CV artistically, he has an Order of Arts and Letters. This is an award given to people who make significant contributions to the arts. It was created by Charles de Gaulle, and he received one in his later years for his body of work. And somebody's got it like that. Hey, let them revel in it. But while we do this, let's enjoy my brother, David Jones, not to be confused with my colleague from Vancouver, David Love Jones. Let's see what the brother's got to offer. You're listening to the Big Big Tournament on the Soul Tree Radio and the Raw, the Great Leopard Cove, through Blog Talk Radio.
Of the sparks that come to my head, burn for everyone. right, thinking you know where. Life's begun, nights are warm and the days are young.
Run for the shadows, run for the shadows.
David Bowie. Not bad. Again, he performed as an actor and singer. I believe he actually won an award for a couple of films. I believe he was in Labyrinth and Last Temptation of Christ. He made a name for himself by being himself. And a lot of times, especially when it comes to soul music, too many folks are trying to do somebody else's shit instead of striving to create their own sound by just being themselves. Got my man DJ Gray coming into the mix soon as we are adjusting. Coming in on the hotline. What's up, G? Can you hear me?
What's up, man? Good job.
Well, that's all right. I've been there. But, you know, G, we ask the question all the time, what is soul? And, you know, you can make any answer that you want. When you hear soul, you know it and you feel it. Now, when was the first time that you can remember that you heard something or someone kicking out soul and you were surprised at where the source was?
Maybe I Need Your Lovin'.
Yep. Country soul. I like that.
Is this guy black or white? If I know who he was, okay, you can sing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's funny you say Mr. Rivers, because I swear to God, before I pass this way of all flesh, if you allow me, God, I'm going to be able to properly play the chords, the Secret Agent Man. Because that shit hit me, and I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, shit, yeah. And,
yes,
of course,
yes.
The brother who was playing it, John Ramaspella was his actual name before he changed it to Johnny Rivers on stage. That's a Latin brother. He was kicking that shit. Them grooves were wicked.
He's doing it, man.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love that. I used to watch Secret Agent just to hear the theme. I didn't give a shit about the show. That minute and a half or whatever. Was. Yeah. And then I was cool.
And I guess like Friday night.
Yeah.
I was like
That's right. That's exactly right. That shit was soulful. I loved it. And, you know, I can remember my mother playing Make the World Go Away by Timmy Euro. She used to play it to death. And I thought the lady was black, too. But, you know, you found out later on American Bandstand or whatever the hell show it was, that she wasn't. But it didn't matter. But that's the beauty of soul. Soul truly is the force. That's where the force comes from.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So if we see people who may not look the part very much being the part, that's what it's about. That and their ability to translate their soul makes for an awesome love song. Now, I know you
know
black.
I go back and forth on the Righteous Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I go back and forth on this is because they had no tendencies,
yes.
But they fell back on their whiteness. You know what I mean?
How so? I think I know what you mean, but how so? How did it translate like that for you?
Okay. What I mean is, when they, mm-hmm. they really wanted to, they got down when they wanted to.
Yes.
But it depends on where they were, when they were
mm-hmm.
done.
Oh, I get you.
And they mm-hmm. felt better with it. But what I mean is this.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When they did,
yep.
Black people there,
mm-hmm.
you knew they were going to do that. But when they were
They had to break out. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They had to break to the crowd. Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. It makes a big difference when you hear something. And when I was playing that Tears for Fears stuff, there were a couple of tracks that sounded like they were straight out of the Beatle albums. At least the production made it sound like it was a Beatle album. But the vocals came through, and I could hear sisters in the background and all that. So they knew what to add to augment their sound. But when somebody can just, like what David Bowie did in that last song, which actually is a soundtrack, the movie Absolute Beginners, that's the soundtrack from the lead song from the soundtrack. And it was based on the color riots in the late 50s in Britain. So it's some truth to it from an autobiographical standpoint that he probably reflected and lived some of that. But also the fact that it's a beautiful song. I can hear elements of it that would be indicative of a Phil Spector song because of the wall of sound effect that it had in the beginning there. And yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir.
So all of this shit, and I don't say that facetiously, but all this goes into what makes a good love song. And a full-out production can be just as nice as somebody who's so matter-of-fact, like, say, a Bill Withers, who was singing kind of an anti-love song the last show we did, and he did a song called You, where he was just strumming on his guitar, talking about his ex-wife, Denise Nicholas, and some of the shit that she was doing that he wasn't too crazy. But it all comes from love, whether it's love gone or love acquired or, you know, love never to be. So as I say these things, before we clean up with a couple of more examples of love songs, can you remember the first time that a song inspired you to either, like, write somebody a love letter or, you know, some stuff like that just...
You already know the answer to that one.
Oh, so Black Pearl was that. Okay.
That's right. You already know the answer.
No, I got you. Funny enough,
Black Pearl was my first real crush. I had no back in it. I think these were sugar by anyone, but it was like, you know, little boy, little puppy love. You know, that's not bad. You know, when you're 12 or 13.
So you wasn't a dog. So the dog wasn't in you yet.
Yeah, right. There you go.
You just puppy. Yeah, all the pups know. Yes, we all know. But having said that, here's an example. Because, you know, Motown was the sound of young America. And, yeah, they wasn't going to put no, you know, oh, baby, love me, let's get in the bed, and me grab that behind, all that good stuff. No, that wasn't them. A lot of times on their B-sides, they would come out with some hardcore stuff. And the Temptations were good for this. This is a B-side. Some of y'all may recognize it, but I like the matter-of-fact point that the brother makes where he's saying, I'm not having this. If you don't know what's in front of you, too bad.
One day the the touch of my hand. Baby, don't you let you know how much I love you,
love you.
And if you
you'll lose a precious love. And as we talk about what makes a good love song and the feeling from it and all the sources that put that together, I know a lot of you may be too young to remember this, but y'all remember when we were talking that shit about Elvis and he's moving his body and it's like, oh, oh, you know, come on, stop. But the idea was, yeah, you know, he's overtly sexual, but he can do the same thing them black guys is doing. Oh, please stop with the bullshit. However, that atmosphere of being overtly sexual never, ever, ever went away. A few years later, on the Ed Sullivan Show, this band appeared. And somebody got a bit put out because the lead singer was being overtly sexual, whatever the fuck that is. However, it didn't stop him from being flawless when he did this live on the Ed Sullivan Show. You see, because I'm talking about Ed, he's trying to stop me from getting this done. I was hoping we didn't have to do this. There's always at least one time where the gremlins have been getting in. Y'all better get your ass on out there. Come on with this bad boy. We ain't got time for this shit. Either way, before we're done, we will make our point. We will be on tomorrow to continue our matchups from Bobby Caldwell and Mr. Curtis Mayfield. So, when these brothers decide to come out of the bathroom, we will get on with things.
come on, come on, come on, now touch me, baby. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she did? What was that promise that you made? I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky for you and I. I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky for you and I.
Jim Morrison and the Doors, Touch Me. I don't have to say more than that. He made it clear he wanted to be touched when it was reported that he was exposing himself. I don't mean like an old pervert sense. I guess he figured he had that much control over the crowd. He could do anything he wanted. But again, that's a two-drink conversation. So yes, sometimes it's straightforward like that, you know. There may be a hint of double entendre and innuendo lurking about, but see, that's straight up. Ironically, though, when black groups got up in there, this shit had to be clean. I don't mean like they were trying to be deliberately profane or nothing and whatnot, but you wouldn't have an act like this on the Ed Sullivan Show because they would be arrested for begging in the first degree.
Girl, you know that you have got to change.
Ooh, ooh, yeah, baby. You've got to change your evil ways
if you want to keep.
Oh,
wrong. I'm not saying that Ed Sullivan wouldn't have Black Axe on, because of course he did. I mean, we were watching that shit growing up. What I am saying is that Ed's approach to those who are singing would be a little different, because Elvis could show his pelvis. But you better not have them brothers out there doing something similar, or even singing for something similar, because they would get charged with being nasty in the first degree. No. Apparently, this is more of the approach that they would have done for accepted Black acts.
You've got the magic touch.
Ooh.
It makes me glow so much.
Ooh.
It casts a spell. It rings a bell. The magic touch. Oh, when I feel your charm, it's like a four-alarm. You make me thrill so much. You've got the magic touch. Here I go. Magic touch. Here I go.
The touching, you know, it's like what Ma said, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. So Jim Morrison could actually sing Magic Touch if he wanted to, but Buck Graham or whoever was singing lead for the Platters at that time, they couldn't do that. They couldn't sing come on now, touch me, babe. At least not on air. Now if you think I'm going a little bit on with this, remember Hank Ballard and the Midnighters were underground stars because of the tunes they did in part of the 50s, where they did a song called Work With Me, Annie. Now, they're fucking the shit out of Annie, so it doesn't matter, you know, but that's how they're disguising it. Work With Me, Annie later got Caucasianized into a song called Dance With Me, Henry. And then there was Annie Had a Baby. Now, if she was working or she was being worked, you know, eventually Annie was going to have a baby. But I digress. This is how they would, I guess, cross the line in the sense of carrying on. And it's something that runs to this day. The methodology is what it's all about. Excuse me for snickering at this, but it's just another reminder that nothing's really changed. Love songs will endure, but sometimes the way they come out is what gets folks a bit upset. And it's another example of living puritanical atmosphere where screwed up mindsets about sexuality are prevalent because white men set standards. Now, again, this doesn't invite all white men, but the ones who are running this, they know what the fuck I'm talking about. Now, the soulful thing, again, reminds us that if we really do enjoy music, then we should be open to all of it. And, of course, there's some you're going to like better than others, all that shit, but you never know. You'll hear something amazing connect with you, and you can say, damn, that's soul. Because that's really what it's all about. Now, Friday, we will come on again, and we will provide another show as Bobby Caldwell and Curtis Mayfield will come into the mix and match skills. Now, we will also have a wild card artist in the mix. So, y'all know we won't say who. We'll just simply tell you that's what you have to look forward to. Tomorrow night at 9, we'll be back again. But don't forget to vote now. You've got Tears for Fears or Roland. Vote for them on Facebook or on our email address, soultreeintheraw@outlook.com, or the Cove Caravan Facebook site, or send to glcgray@gmail.com. So tomorrow night at 9, we'll be back at it. And since the ideal method is to have someone sing their heart out to another person, we'll leave you with this little traditional number, courtesy of Mr. Jimmy Scott. You and I, remember, go safe, stay safe, be safe. I want you to get from A to B and back to A-OK. Wash your hands. Wash your ass. Especially when we glove. Wash your ass. Wear a mask. Mask in a casket, and watch your back. Good night. Now, see, they won't let me say good night, right, because I'm being naughty. Come on. We've got so many songs logged on here that this thing is buffering forever. Come on and stop buffering so we can say good night. Oh, dadnabbit, come on. I know that. Tell that to this. Oh, no, y'all. Y'all make me say goodnight early. Come on, stop playing around here.
When did you leave heaven? Why did they let you go? How's everything? Keep my It's impossible to hide. 'Cause